Well, good afternoon. It's Tuesday, and we're setting up here on the roof of the Santa Fe New Mexican building to do episode 3 of our podcast. I'm James Barron, the sports editor of the Santa Fe New Mexican, and with me here is Will Weber, our intrepid sports reporter, covers mainly the Lobos. And I'll give a shout out to Matt Dahlside, too, our producer of this podcast.
Killer.
Yeah, he's like our Sherpa. You know, he's a guy that tries to figure out where else we can go. And today we decided to go up on the roof because, well, it's here. And neither one of us have ever been up here before.
Never. Not in 9 years of working here. I didn't even really know we had a roof. So there you go.
Yeah, I almost felt like we were trespassing when we went by our HR director. It's like she's like the last line of defense, trying to prevent anybody from getting out here.
So standing right outside the owner's office, too. So if she looked out her window, if she was in there,
right
she'd
now,
wonder who in the heck is out here.
Yeah, I guess we could tell her that we're working on the roof.
This is our new office.
Yeah.
Trying to cut corners in sports, and this is where we work now.
Right yeah, here. Yeah. Well, it's not like we need desks or anything. Just give us a laptop and a nice view of, well, we got the Cross of the Martyrs right there to our right, and lots of trees. I didn't realize.
Cross of the Martyrs, that's where we did our Athlete of the Year interview.
That's
at least
right.
I did my Athlete of the Interview. Yeah, that did it right up there.
Yeah, that's well. We were both up there because that's where we did the photo shoot for our two athletes.
Interesting fact is, I grew up in Santa Fe. I had never ever been up there. That was the first time I'd ever been up there. I was like, oh, the view up here is nice. Well, when did they put this thing here? Like,
forever. I'd known about it, but I'd never gone up there either until that day, and that was quite the trek. You know, just trying to and on top of that, I had to bring a ladder because our photographers had to use it for to stage our cover. For our North Star section.
That'd have been a good picture, you carrying a ladder up that serpentine walkway. That'd have been a good one.
Oh, my Lord, I wouldn't have made it halfway. I'd have just quit and told Louise, just stand up on the ledge there and do it yourself.
It's funny, because downtown Santa Fe is actually really pretty, and there's parts of it I had no idea was even here, because you get so locked into just doing stuff for the newspaper. Dumbest thing ever. This is going to show you how I don't have a lot of working knowledge about Santa Fe, but I didn't know the library was like 2 blocks away from our office.
I was like 2 months, wasn't it 2 months ago when you finally figured it out?
Hey, James, guess what? There's a library right next to our office. You can see our newsroom from there. I had no idea. And it shows you how often we go to the library here.
Yeah, so.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, it is. So we're going to enjoy the view here, and it's actually not too hot today. Of course, we're in the shade, which is, you know, kind of advantageous for us. If we spent half an hour here in the sun, we'd probably be roasting by the end of this, and a little incoherent at that point. Not that we're any better right now, but anyhow, I guess we should talk a little bit of sports because that's what people want to listen about. And you know, we've got a big week coming up this week because it's officially the beginning of the high school sports season, starting on Wednesday, which when you hear this, it'll be today. So, but regardless, we have Santa Fe High and St. Michael's playing a boys-girls doubleheader over at St. Michael's, and then we'll have Santa Fe Prep and Capital splitting their boys-girls games. I believe the girls will be down at Santa Fe Prep, and the boys will be playing at Capital. But that officially kicks off the season, and then we've also got football at the end of this week, the first week of the season. We'll have Santa Fe High at home playing Las Vegas Robertson in their home opener. I think the big game, really, in my mind, will happen up in Taos, where you have the defending Class 4A state champion Taos Tigers entertaining the St. Michael's Horsemen. And everything that I've heard about both teams going into this year is that they're, even though Taos lost a lot of seniors, they've got a lot of good kids coming back. They've still got about 11 or 12 seniors that were returning from last year's team, and they've got a lot of good young talent. And St. Mike's, well, they're St. Mike's. They're going to be good again. And everything that I heard about their scrimmage last week against Moriarty was they looked fantastic. Lucas Coris, the sophomore quarterback, I think he had about 4 or 5 touchdowns in that scrimmage. So, you know, it's obviously St. Michael's looks like they're in midseason. I don't know if I'd say midseason form, but they obviously are showing that they're pretty stout this year.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what St. Mike's has, and I think more than anything with them, I really want to see what Lucas Caris can do as a full-time starter, because of course he split time with Dominic Morgan, and Lucas is one of these kids who showed up on the varsity level a lot like Luke Padilla did for Capital, with so much hype and so much potential, and now is his time to shine. He's got 3 years in front of him as a starter, And if you've never seen him play, he's a big kid, but 6'3", 6'4"?
6'3", 6'4".
Big, strong kid. He looks nothing at all like a freshman, nothing at all like a sophomore. He looks like a senior or even a college kid. He's one of those kids who developed early. And more than that, he's got a good head on his shoulders. He's got a parent who definitely catered to him when he was younger, taught him how to play the game the right way, how to approach it the right way. And then, of course, he's playing for a guy, Joey Fernandez, over at St. Mike's, who is an offensive, he's an offensive mind. So if you have talent, Joey's going to find a way to get it out of you. And so is that enough to beat Taos, the defending state champs, in their home opener on their own field? I don't know. That's a tough draw. But either way, you can't ask for a better season opener than that.
No, absolutely. And I actually went up to Taos and I saw – I got a little sneak peek of the team there that Art Abreu Jr. has this year, and you know they have about six or seven starters returning from last year. Noah Armijo, their senior quarterback, which actually you saw in his only other real start that he's had in his career, not I shouldn't say start, but the only time where he got significant playing time, which is against St. Michael's two years ago, and he didn't exactly comport himself very well in that game, but. I think he grew from that, and he's, you know, even in the story that I wrote in our section for Saturday, he mentioned that, you know, he learned a little bit about what it takes to play at the varsity level, and he realized that he wasn't as prepared as he should have been, and he really took those lessons to heart, and now he's getting a second chance to kind of show what he can do.
Yeah, it's when you think about the bigger picture with what has happened up in Taos, really the last 5 or 6 years, just with the entire athletic program, they've had a great run where so many different sports have done well, but usually with schools like that, the one sport that lags behind is football. But football has really turned into a legitimate statewide power now. People look at Taos as one of the teams, if not the team to beat. And you and I have been around long enough to know that it has never really been that way up in Taos. There were years where Taos was just horrible and they were everyone's doormat. And now it's not like that at all. You get a coach in there who, like Art, who's you know, comes from a great coaching family and a great coaching tradition, and he looked at what was there at Taos, saw the potential, and has built it the way he wanted to. And they, I mean, you can see Taos doing what they're doing right now for years to come. Might not result in a state championship, but certainly they're going to be one of those teams that's going to be one of the last ones standing and come Thanksgiving weekend every single year from now on.
No, absolutely. And last year, I think we joked that they were the unofficial city champions because they beat all three city schools, Santa Fe High, St. Mike's, and Capital. So technically, I guess they did win the city championship last year, but unfortunately, it only works with the city schools. And, you know, and speaking of our city schools there, I think St. Mike's, I believe is still probably the best team in Santa Fe, but I think the gap isn't as big or as wide as it used to be. Santa Fe High, I think if they get a couple of breaks early, if they can get a couple of wins, if they can start off and play well against Robertson, I think that will be a good sign of things to come for them. If they ended up losing by 20, 21 points, it might be a bit of a struggle for them. But I think if they can get off to a good start, it could build some momentum, and they might surprise some people here by the time they get to October and November when they get to the district season.
Yeah, the psychological aspect for Santa Fe High is so big because unlike schools that some of these schools can absorb a loss, like St. Mike's could probably get kicked in the mouth and they can absorb one of those losses, but they know they're going to do well because they've got that tradition, the history, and the belief system in place. But Santa Fe High just doesn't have that. And if they do get pounded early and often, it could be one of these things that just completely dismantles that team. So in some ways, you hope that Santa Fe High does have what it takes to stay in there those first couple weeks, maybe build something special, because you can tell the school district, they're putting some weight behind athletic programs with everything, the infrastructure that's going on in place. And you look across town over at Capitol. I mean, I had a chance to go watch Capitol in their scrimmage down in Bernalillo. Matt and I were front and center for a couple of on-field incidents between them and Bernalillo where they actually had to call the scrimmage off a little early. There was some question about whether some guys are going to be eligible for what was taking place during the scrimmage itself. But I actually came away from it feeling a little bit differently. Like the coaches were upset about their players and even some of the assistants mouthing off. I thought, you know what, this is the first time I've seen some signs of life, the emotion out of Capitol. I know that's not the emotion that Bill Moon wants, but there's been so many times in the past where Capitol is on the wrong side of that, where they tend to shrink in moments like that. But these guys didn't. They were that there was one player in particular from Bernalillo that was under their skin, and some of the assistant coaches and some of the players, they weren't going to take it. And I actually thought it was a positive. Of course, Bill Moon lectured me for 10 minutes after practice about how it was, I almost felt like I had done something wrong. And
just
I thought,
by being there.
Yeah,
huh?
Matt and I needed a timeout for having observed it. But it was, I like what I saw at a Capital. Capital is clearly the typical Capital team that you're used to seeing, which is 3 yards in a cloud of dust, and then maybe Luke Padilla pounds one for 80 yards. You're going to get that out of them. But I like what I see out of Capital. Look, their opener is custom made for a good win for them.
And Crown Point.
Yeah. Crown Point. I think the three of us could probably give Crown Point a decent game, but I think Capitals, they have a few custom made wins on their schedule, and if they can get a little bit of momentum, you never know.
Yeah.
You never know.
I think the big test for them is going to come in the next 3 weeks after the Crown Point game. They go to Deming, and Deming's got a very good team. They made it to the state playoffs last year, mm-hmm. and they've got a lot of kids coming back from that squad. Then they go and play Lovington, and Lovington is Lovington. I mean, even though they're not as successful as they were back in the, you know, through most of the 2000s when they won about 4 or 5 state titles, they're still a competitive squad in 4A, I'm sorry. So you know that's going to be a good game. It'll be a good test for them. And then right after that comes St. Mike's, mm-hmm. up at St. Mike's on a Saturday afternoon. And I didn't even realize this, but we were talking about the UNM Notre Dame game. But Capital and St. Mike's play the same day that UNM and Notre Dame play, and I believe that's an 11 o'clock start. So you're going to have a lot of Catholics in this town wondering, do you want to go watch the Notre Dame game, or do you want to go watch St. Mike's and Capital? So that's a bit of a conundrum there that they're going to find themselves
in. A lot of smartphones will be tuned into the game in South Bend, I would think. You'll get that.
Yeah. You know, a lot of data is going to be used over at Christian Brothers Complex. But getting back to Capital and St. Mike's, if Capital comes in there 2-1, you know, and they play St. Mike's tough, and I'm not even saying that they're going to win, but if they can be competitive with them, I think that's a good sign for the rest of the year. And granted, I mean, their schedule is really, really tough this year. I mean, they've got Taos, they've got Portales, and I'm telling you, I've heard from a couple of coaches, they think Portales might be the team to beat in 4A. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've got a beast of a defensive lineman who's going to Texas Tech.
Yeah.
Their front seven is supposed to be really good, and you know it's Portales. That program has gotten to a point where they're just successful every year in and year out. You know, they lose a bunch of seniors, but they've got some kids coming in there that fill those spots, and you know they've been competitive in 3A and 4A.
Yeah.
For
they've
the last
kind of
decade.
Supplanted Lovington. What Lovington used to be,
exactly.
Portales is now.
Yeah, and you wonder if maybe they're benefiting maybe just, you know, from siphoning off some kids that maybe would have gone to Clovis, mm-hmm. back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
If I remember correctly, the Dawson kid at Portales a couple of years ago, his brother played at Clovis, and then he ended up over at Portales, and his brother actually ended up playing basketball at Marquette. So, but still, I mean, those are the type of athletes that Portales is getting right now versus what they used to get back 10, 15 years ago. So big difference there compared to where they were, back in the early 2000s.
Yeah, I'm just, last Friday was basically the last Friday that you and I will have an opportunity to be home.
Yeah.
at a reasonable hour, we could spend family time and things like that. So I was thinking, gosh, starting this Friday, I'm not going to see the inside of my house on a Friday night, probably till Christmas.
Yeah,
and that's
probably
that's not the worst thing in the world, though. But one thing that always drives me nuts is this is the time of year where we start off covering games in T-shirts and shorts, and by the end of the year, we're dressed like we're going on some sort of South Pole expedition,
exactly.
in faraway locations. So that's the beauty of high school football season. We get to see all that stuff. And the challenge for us every year is when Zizobra weekend comes up, which one of us gets the assignment furthest away from the office?
Because
you don't want to deal with downtown traffic on Zizobra weekend. So you and I might have to arm wrestle about that one.
And that's always kind of been the benefit of having high school football. and especially now that they do Zizobra on Friday as opposed to Thursday, because then it was simply a matter of you don't want to be in the office after 5 p.m. You want to get out of there while everybody else is coming in, or else you're never going to get out of here in time. But you know, for us on Fridays, you know, we'll figure that one out. I know, Capital will be out of town that week. Santa Fe High, I believe, will also be out of town. They start with their first three games are at home. So, you know, that's probably where we're going to have our rocks, paper, scissors competition to see who gets to cover that game.
It's always a, people will ask you from time to time, did you ever go to Woodstock? Well, no, I go to Woodstock every year because that's when they burn Zozobra.
Yeah, that's when Zozobra is here.
You get to see all the people wandering around the street.
25,000 people here.
Right. Santa Fe transforms on the night of Zozobra. So looking forward to that.
Yeah, well, we'll have to save our Zozobra talk for next week because, you know, we're still only 10 days away from it, and I don't want to exhaust a topic that could probably...
Don't want to burn all our bridges,
yeah,
so to speak.
Exactly.
Wink, wink.
We need good material anyhow, so... But anyhow, you know, kind of, again, going back to a little bit of high school sports and high school football in particular, looking at Santa Fe High and Robertson, that'll be a good game just from the standpoint that Santa Fe High, I think, is starting to build some momentum and getting some confidence back to where they were maybe back when Ray Holiday was mm-hmm. here back in the early 2010s. And Robertson is, you know, again, that's another one of those programs where you expect them to be competitive in 3A. And, you know, my understanding is they may have settled on a quarterback, and it looks like it might be Antonio Padilla that'll be the starting quarterback. But, of course, I say this now, I'm sure Leroy will throw a wrench into those plans, and he'll probably have somebody else go out there and line up behind center. But regardless of who they put there, you know, they've got a good, tough offensive line. They've got some good skill position players. You know, Leroy loves to, he's a lot like Bill Moon, except he likes to run that 3 yard in a cloud of dust type of mentality out of the spread. But, you know, they're gonna ground and pound. And, you know, I imagine that game will probably be done in about 2 hours.
Yeah. I love Robertson because every single year you think, well, this is the year they stride backwards, because they lose 7 or 8 seniors every single year. But that's the thing, is you look at what Leroy works with up there, it's the most balanced program I think I've ever seen, because every single year they'll lose 7 or 8 guys,
and they got 7 or 8.
They've got 7 or 8 juniors coming up, and they got 7 or 8 sophomores right behind that,
and then they got a couple of freshmen.
It's this incredible churning thing that he's got going up there, where you lose a lot, but you get kids right back the next year, and they all play that Robertson style, which is, you know what, I might be 5'8" and I might weigh 175 pounds, but I'm going to run through a brick wall and you're going to have to stop me. And Robertson has never been blessed with a huge amount of size or speed for that matter, but they just play.
Working.
Yeah, they play with a mentality that is different from anyone that you see. And occasionally they'll run into a team that's got better skill players and maybe they get you that way. But you're, by and large, you're going to have to go through Robertson to get where you need to go. And if you can play Robertson, whether it's the first week of the season or sometime in October or November, you beat them, you can puff out your chest a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. And they're the kind of team that even when you think you got them, you don't. I think last year the playoffs was a perfect example. I mean, St. Mike's had them down 2 touchdowns with 4 minutes left in that game, and you're thinking, there's no way they're going to win this game. And what do? They score 2 touchdowns in the last 3 minutes, throwing the ball of all things, which they're not known for doing, mm-hmm. And they pull off the upset, and they end up getting to the state championship game for the 4th straight year because of it.
Yeah, it's become like an annual thing too, of interviewing Leroy Gonzalez after a loss in the championship game. It's almost where I can pre-submit the questions to him before the game. Like, well, what are we going to talk about now? You guys are officially the Buffalo Bills of high school football, but look, I'm not going to be surprised at all if we have something similar again this year, where, who knows, maybe it's them and Dexter, maybe it's them and St. Mike's, maybe it's them and somebody else, but Robertson's going to be there in the end. And Santa Fe High, look, if Santa Fe High can give him a push, then who knows where that takes Santa Fe High.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say something before where I think really you look at the health of the three major football programs here in Santa Fe, and I think things are looking good. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we got, you know, 2 of those teams playing in the state playoffs come November. I kind of pencil in St. Mike's just because, you know, it's kind of a given where they're at right now. But, you know, if you ask me right now, I'd say Capital's probably got the edge over Santa Fe High, but it's not a huge edge.
Yeah.
I think it's just because they've experienced a little bit more success. They've been to the playoffs before. They've got a really dynamic running back in Luke Padilla, and I think that makes a big difference in that offense. You know, Santa Fe High, they've got some good young kids. If one of them can step up, and or if they can find a nice balance there where they're able to run and throw the ball, and especially with a kid like Luke Jaramillo, who's a really good quarterback, and I think, you know, again, talking about, you know, Lucas Cody's, I think Santa Fe High and St. Mike's, they're set for the next 3 years. I mean, you know who your starter is going to be as long as they don't get hurt. And I think they're going to guide those teams to a lot of success.
All right. Here's the big question. We've both been behind the scenes with some of these high school teams, but who's got the best uniform that you've seen so far?
Well, I wasn't there, but you told me about it, and I saw the photos of them. man, those Capitol uniforms look really, really slick. Nice. They've got kind of that old, I think you mentioned it before, they got that old school Raider type of design on it with the silver, with the silver numbers and the white on, you know, and the white shirt and everything. And I imagine it'll be, you know, black and silver for the home uniforms. But I mean, God, those things just look sharp.
Yeah, I was never a big fan of the turquoise or teal, whatever you want to call it. I didn't like that as a highlight color, but yeah, their uniforms are pretty slick. I saw Pewaukee's uniforms, you know, all 10 guys that were at practice the day I was there. They made me swear to secrecy. Their helmets are like a matte green finish this year with a little bit of a metallic look, which
I thought
was...
Do they still have the horns?
No, they got rid of the horns. They're going with like a Purdue P kind of thing on the side, but I thought that was pretty slick. And look, I will go on record as saying the worst mistake anyone made uniform-wise was St. Mike's with those two-tone helmets, because
it doesn't work.
The balance of white and blue last year was different. Some guys had it halfway up the helmet, and some guys were down at the back, like a visor in the back. That's one of the better things, is you get to see who got creative in the off season with uniform design.
Yeah. But to me, I still think the best uniforms I've seen since I've been here were the 2015 Espanola uniforms with the Superman S. I mean,
the bloody S.
Yes, that was great. I still haven't seen anything that tops that.
Yeah, they're one magical year where they go to the playoffs, everything worked well, and then of course, like everything in Espanola, whatever works, they naturally throw it out the window and they try to go revert back to the chaos that
they're accustomed to, yeah.
Right, yeah, and Espanola just looks like a train wreck this year. I had a chance to do that story, and I know that's going to ruffle some feathers for anybody that listens to this in Espanola, but basically prove us wrong. Technically you've got 30 guys in the roster, but I think of that, I think 25 were healthy, and then there's another two or three are questionable because of grades and medical forms. So you're looking at maybe starting the season with 20 kids, and they've got just a brutal schedule. So yeah, Espanola, I don't know what their uniforms look like. I never actually got to see the final product, but I don't think it's gonna matter.
Well, I hope they at least look good while they're out there.
Right, yeah, the field definitely looks good. Espanola might win the award for best field design.
Well, that's only 2 years old anyway.
Them and Escalante, they're the front runners with field stuff.
Absolutely.
And that was an interesting conversation I had with Bill Moon, is, you remember, you and I were around when Bill was advocating for AstroTurf Field.
That's
turf,
right.
He's actually talking about wanting grass back now. I thought, well, you were turning coffee tables over at the front offices looking for a turf field. Now he's talking about maybe getting grass, which is surprising to me.
I gotta admit, I think his approach is the right approach. I think what people are realizing is, you know, the idea behind a lot of these field turf. Or the field turf phenomenon that we've seen is that it's supposed to cut down on the amount of water that you use and the cost of that. But on the flip side, these turf fields are supposed to last 10, 15, maybe even 20 years, and a lot of schools are only getting 6 or 7 years out of it.
Yeah.
So then you're having to spend another $750,000, close to $1 million, depending on what you're using and everything, or depending on what you want for your field. So really, the cost is almost negligible, and I really think that, teams, I wouldn't be surprised if teams start realizing, you know what, let's just go with grass, because it's the cost, you know, the cost analysis there. I mean, there's not much of a difference between going one way or the other.
Yeah.
So you might as well just do something that's a little bit more natural. And shoot, let's give Robertson all credit. They've stuck with the grass field, and it's maybe the best home field advantage when you get to November.
Absolutely. Because they don't take care of it.
Yeah, they don't. It's like playing on cement.
Right. They water the heck out of it, and then they run a million plays in the middle of it because they practice on the same field, and then you get down to the playoffs and it's like a mud bog and it's lumpy and it hurts to walk on and no one wants to play there except for Robertson.
That's, exactly.
Maybe that's why Robertson is so good. It's not coaching. It's not tradition. It's that field. No one wants to play there.
Absolutely not. Nobody does.
It's like the old Ivanhoe Stadium before they put turf in there. The crown was so high in that natural grass field that you'd look across the field and you could only see everyone on the other sideline, you can only see from the hips up.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and I remember from a soccer standpoint, all of the Albuquerque schools hated playing at Ivanhoe because it was a shortened field,
narrow.
At least lengthwise, it was more narrow, and so they couldn't use their speed, and Santa Fe High played right into that, making it more of a defensive-minded game, and that's where they would, you know, occasionally pull off upsets. I remember in 2002, they beat La Cueva when La Cueva was one of the top teams in the nation.
In Sandia, ran into the same problem where Ron Allen's teams hated playing here because the grass was so long in certain spots and worn out in others. Well, that's what you get when you come to Santa Fe.
Exactly.
You know? We can't all have the manicured fields that you guys down in Albuquerque have, but... No, I kind of like it. I like the natural grass field. And if they want to rip out the grass, I'll go help and pull the turf out of Capitol if they want me to.
For sure. Well, I think we've made a nice segue into the other part of our discussion here, which is obviously soccer. And if you've been reading our section here, Tuesday we had our girls soccer preview. Wednesday you'll see our boys soccer preview for the upcoming year for the teams up north and in Santa Fe in particular. And you know, I think from my perspective, at least on the girls' side, this could be a good year for Santa Fe High. They've got a lot of good young talent there. Alvin Valdez feels like he's got the right pieces in place now. He feels like he's doing a lot more coaching than teaching because a lot of these young girls that he has, the eighth graders and the freshmen that are in the squad now, these are girls that have played club soccer. They're familiar with the sport. He doesn't have to sit there and kind of break down the fundamentals, and they can kind of expand on some of their set plays, working on their shape, working on their offense and defensive schemes and everything. And so I think this might be a year where you see them finish top two. And maybe even challenge Sandia a little bit for the top spot in District 5-5A, you know. So there's that, and from the smaller divisions, it seems like it's a no-brainer to say Los Alamos is always going to be one of those teams to beat when it comes to both boys and girls. I mean, they've got such a great, you know, system there. I mean, they lose a bunch of seniors. They bring a bunch of others. You know, they've got a bunch of other young kids coming up. You know, they always seem to have good talent year in and year out. So, you know, you can always count on them. I think Taos girls, they were a young team last year. They've got some kids coming back. They've got Steinberg and Casey Tonery's daughter, who will be two key players that I think they'll kind of fashion their offense around to try to get some scoring. But I think they could have a good year. And then in the small schools, you know, looking at St. Mike's, I mean, they're always going to be good because, again, same thing. They lose a bunch of seniors. They've got a bunch of young kids coming up. They've got some good freshmen and some good juniors, and a senior in Daisy Smith. I mean, they've got the pieces there, I think, to make another run. They're going to have to get through Sandia Prep again. And now they're a district opponent as well as a state foe. So, you know, it's going to make the district season very interesting. And Santa Fe Prep, not to leave them out, but they're kind of going through some changes. They've got a new coach. They've got a really young team. It's going to be a bit of a learning experience, but they could be competitive by the end of the year. And I kind of want to give a little shout out to Academy for Technology and the Classics. You know, they've got another young team that gained some experience from going to the state tournament. I think they're going to have a shot at maybe winning that district there, especially with, you know, against Navajo Prep and Rehoboth. You know, it could be a good year for them.
I'm glad you mentioned Santa Fe Prep because I'm maternally obligated to mention Santa Fe Prep since my
married into the family now.
My wife, Sarah, is a Santa Fe Prep graduate, so I can't hardly do a high school story without mentioning them on some level. Even if they're going to be god-awful, I have to mention them. But
you've got the two big private schools nailed down. You went to one, and now you're married
That's
to the
right,
other.
That's right, yeah. Before I get into the boys' soccer, was one of our employees that walked across? I wonder, we're standing on the roof, so we can see into the parking lot, people walking into the building, and I'm wondering, do we all look that disinterested when we walk into the building? Because that guy looked like he almost got run over right there.
Yeah.
So that could be any one of them. Hopefully, I'm not doing something stupid like, you know, picking my nose or something when I walk. Because you never know who's watching. You literally never know who's watching.
Exactly.
Especially the sports staff on the roof.
All the more
doing
reason why we need to move our desks up here. Or
yeah,
at least
absolutely.
Work from up here.
It's there's a giant thunderhead coming over the mountain right in front of us. It's
with the Sangre de Cristo's there. And
it's picture. Hey, I'm not doing anything about this. I'm just going to sit right here.
Yeah.
I've
got a laptop. I'll bring it up here. We can get this stuff done.
Yeah, I can do that. So, boys soccer. I think we can talk all day about Los Alamos, which made the state championship at their level. Santa Fe High with Chris Eady back in charge. Chris Eady, of course, coached there forever. And he's back in charge of Santa Fe High. So Santa Fe High is going to be decent this year. But really, the one team, probably the best team in the entire city, is going to be Monte del Sol, because Monte del Sol returns just about everybody off that team that made it to the state semis, gave Robertson, which made it to the championship game, gave Robertson a push in the semis. The thing is, Monte is now on their third coach in four seasons. A younger guy named Victor Gonzalez is now head coach at Monte. Guy who's coached internationally, just like basically every coach at Monte del Sol has ever done.
Got an international flavor to it.
My gosh, Monte del Sol has about 7 students in it. The entire faculty has coached or taught internationally. So it's one of those schools where you get these coaches who've been around and they've seen a lot and they coach a different way. They have a different philosophy. And when I was talking to athletic director Chilla Butler today, she told me that the team is responding well to it. There's a form of discipline that hasn't been there in the past. So you could see a Monte del Sol team that could very well be the last boys team standing. That includes Los Alamos, which made that historic run to the championship game last year. And St. Mike's. St. Mike's won more games last year than they had in 6 or 7 years
That's right.
So
they've got a good group coming back too.
They do. St. Mike's does have a lot of kids coming back. And in some ways, that's been the missing link in Santa Fe. St. Mike's has not done historically well the last few years
in soccer.
So if St. Mike's can somehow be competitive, you know Capital's always going to be good. The question with Capital every single year is, can you keep these guys eligible?
Eligible and healthy.
Yeah.
That
has been the one thing that has bitten Capital. And of course, they had their taste with Eugene Doyle as a head coach a couple years ago. But can they maintain that? And Santa Fe High and Capital they play at a higher level. It's going to be tough for them to keep up with the teams down south.
Sandia and Albuquerque High.
Yeah.
I mean, two really top-notch programs right there.
Yeah, Albuquerque High was one of the best teams, if not maybe probably the best team on paper in the state last year. And, of course, that's one of the teams you're always going to have to deal with coming out of that district. And look, Santa Fe High making it to the state playoffs last year was a big shot for them. Now they've gotten there. Granted, they were the 12th seed. They got knocked out right away by Clovis. But the thing is, you've got that coming back. And so there's a measure of confidence that, frankly, hadn't been there. And now with a new coach who's been around, he coached the JV at Santa Fe High last year. So it's like he's taking over a team. He doesn't know who these kids are. I don't see Santa Fe High skipping a beat. I think they actually do get better. And there goes another employee walking away from
there. We go.
I'm going to be cognizant every time I leave the building, make sure that, I want to have a cool walk when I leave here, Matt. You need to help us out with that.
You got a strut when you walk
a
out
A cool stride.
Office.
You know what? I accomplished a lot by what I wrote today. I'm going to go to my car and not do something stupid on the way there, like throw trash on the ground or something.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think we've used up all of our allotted time for this podcast here. Next week, I'll talk a little bit about volleyball because I know Will refuses to talk about anything volleyball-wise.
Right.
It's not really a sport in his mind.
I'm bitter about volleyball because I was always terrible at it, and then when my daughter was younger, she was terrible at it too, so I quit paying attention.
It's a family thing.
I'm carrying on the family tradition of not paying attention to volleyball.
For sure.
So, of course,
I'll take care of that.
James likes the girls running around. Short shorts, not that there's anything wrong with that. So you're on the volleyball beat, and I'll handle the UNM stuff.
We'll talk about UNM football because they got their home opener next week. And by the way, I do play a little volleyball too, and I'm all right at it. So I actually enjoy the sport. So that's another reason why I kind of like volleyball too. It has nothing to do with the short shorts thing. You know, that's how you get into trouble, Will.
Remember when the Journal, it was the Tribune probably 15 years ago, did that 60-inch story on a Sunday about girls wearing short shorts in volleyball, which I thought was one of the, of course, then now that guy went on to bigger and better things. He works for ESPN now, so.
That's right.
Yeah.
Good old Jeremy Fowler.
There's a tour bus in front of our building now. Look at that.
Yeah.
Hopefully
we got to do this more often, man.
We see a lot of crazy things. Right there, the tour bus. We could do our podcast on a tour bus.
That's a great idea.
Matt set that up for us.
Hey, and if you've got ideas for us where you want to see us go next, please let us know. Sports@ sfnewmexican.com.
Or email
Jay
Byron
Matt. At sfnewmexican.com. Yeah, we won't give out Matt's email. I'm sure people can find it.
But either way,
if you got great ideas for us where you want to see us next, please let us know. That about wraps it up for me. This is James Barron, Will Weber. We'll see you guys again next week.